Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The title of my sermon tonight is The Rat Race. Welcome to The Rat Race. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're going to look at the entire chapter tonight. So there's a lot of reading. And so Solomon is writing here. He says, I said in my heart, go now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give wisdom to myself and to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, so I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they shall do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings, and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. That's God's verse. That's God's verse right there. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity, and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath already been done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And myself perceived also that one event happened to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise man more than the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labors wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity, and if you know who his son was, he lost it all. Rehoboam had the kingdom divided because he wouldn't follow the wise counsel. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand, and this is the first time in all of this, the word of God is mentioned. Think about that. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Here is the wisest man on earth talking like this. And basically trying to find things out for himself with little guidance from God. You know, this is graduation time. And as I had some seniors in my classes, you know, they thought that, now I've just arrived. I said, no, you're just beginning. You're just beginning. Now you become responsible for your actions. Now you have to go out and work for a living. If you go and you look in the card section of most stores, you'll find some card like this. Welcome, you graduated, welcome to the rat race. But you know, it's sad that the world is the way it is. And it's sad that all we do is we live at a hurried pace. And we live at a hectic pace. And there doesn't seem to be what? Any end in sight. You know, why do we have this? I found this on the internet. And it's so true of so many people. Where do you want to start? Okay? You want to start, why do you work? You work to earn, and then you get money to pay for your bills and your debt. And most people anymore spend more than they make. And so you're left with what? No money. So it makes you have to what? Work harder to get more money, to go further into debt, to work harder, to just go down this spiral. And there's a lot of people out in the world today who feel like that. And there's no satisfaction with that. Proverbs actually talks about that there's things that are never satisfied. And folks, if you get in this cycle, you'll never get satisfied. And unfortunately, there's too many people in this cycle right now. We have probably the wisest man on earth, King Solomon, and he writes this. And if you read, as you followed along in this text, that he tried everything and nothing won. Nothing satisfied. Nothing made him feel worthwhile. Until he started coming to a conclusion. He goes on for many, many chapters. And then he says, in the end, he says, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and follow him. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So here's what we got. The rat race is man's thinking on things. God doesn't want us to live in the rat race. He wants us to have joy abundant, life abundant. He wants us to have things everlasting. He wants us to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. He wants us to put our treasure ahead. He wants us to think about what happens when we pass on. We need to be prepared for eternity. And if we're prepared for eternity, tomorrow will take care of itself. Because you have God on your side. So, tonight I want to talk about several things here. First of all, let's talk about the rat race itself. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes is a contrast about how to live. And back in the first chapter, one chapter prior to this, Solomon writes this. He says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? And this phrase, under the sun, keeps on repeating over and over and over and over again. And this issue about man, you can either think man's way or you can think God's way. We know that the natural man cannot distinguish the spiritual things or the deep things of God because they have to be spiritually discerned. And we see in this text here that Solomon was talking as a natural man. Even though God kept his promise and kept him wise, he was still doing some silly things. And folks, we can do some foolish things at times, can't we? We're all susceptible to this. We're all susceptible to get into the cycle of the rat race. and take our eyes off of what's important and then do things for what's pleasing. And so we see this contrast here in Ecclesiastes. Solomon and his search, Ecclesiastes 1 verse 13, he says, "And I gave my heart to seek and search out thy wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This surveil hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith." See, here's the point. You can't comprehend it all. You can't make sense of it all. Have you ever said that? "I just can't make sense of this." That's another sign that things are not going right. When you're trying to make sense out of something, well, take it to God. And so he says, look, he says, "I search out by all my wisdom," trying to find all these things, trying to make things how things work. Inquiry is a good thing. Curiosity is a good thing. But you can't control it. And in reality here, Solomon is trying to figure out how he can control this situation. Because he was king. He says, if I can get control on it, maybe I can help somebody else. But he failed at it. What did he come up with? The conclusion? That all is what? Vanity. Solomon searches in education, in philosophy, in chapter 1. He searches out the reasons for all things under the sun, as we just see in this verse. And he observes nature. And he could have easily come to the conclusion that he's not God. So why necessarily worry about it? But instead, you know something? What happens is he gets in this cycle of worry. And there's a lot of people, not only are they just in this rat race of trying to make ends meet, but they're in this rat race of worrying. And that worry, I'll tell you the secret, worry makes more worry. And then if you try to get, it's like, you know, that bopla thing. You go where you play that game where you just mole, bop the mole, bop a mole, pop a mole, or bop whack a mole. You just keep on whacking, there's another one comes up. You can't get control of it. He tries to understand why things happen as they do, and you know what happens? He finds frustration in it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, he says, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight." You can't fix things. I feel sad for people that think they can bring world peace. It's not going to happen. I feel sad for people that think they can end poverty. It's not going to happen. You know why? Because Christ said, "The poor you'll have with you always." You know, should we do good things for people? Just like this morning in James chapter 2. Yes, we should do things to show our faith. But you can't fix things that God has set in motion. And sometimes we just have to let God take care of it and understand the sovereignty of God. It says, "That which is crooked cannot be made straight in your own way. But God can fix it. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered." There's always more requirement than there are resources. There's always something else that what? Needs to be done. There's always one more problem once you get that solved. There's always one more need that you thought that you had everything solved. How many times is it, "When we did this, then all will be well"? We've all said that happened. You know what happens? We're in the rat race. Solomon continues his search. He says, "The more he knows, the worse he feels." That's God trying to get his attention through circumstances. In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 18, it says this. It says, "For in much wisdom is much grief." Because you find out that the problems are bigger than what you thought. You found out that the need was greater than what you had. And so it's a problem here. "And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." So we see the contrast in Ecclesiastes about man's thinking and everything being under the sun. We see a search here. And then we see what happens. What happens most of the time when you don't get the answer you want? You go back and you try again. What happens when it doesn't work the first time? You go back and you try what? Harder. And so he goes on, he says, I try all these things. And in verses 1 through 3 of Ecclesiastes 2, he intensifies his search and tries pleasure. He said, I said in my heart, after he finds out that he can't understand the world and can't fix the problems, and every time he comes up with one problem, he finds another one. He says, okay, I'll find an escape. I'll find an escape. He says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vain. I said in laughter, it is mad and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself into wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of life. He tries mirth, but finds the opposite. He finds misery. He tries laughter, he tries comedy, and in there he finds chaos. Does this sound familiar? We've all experienced this, haven't we? We've all experienced this. He tries wine, but he finds it lacking and wanting. And then he tries diversion, but he finds it disappointing. You know, there's a lot of people that like to escape from things. But the escape doesn't solve the problem. The problem still exists. The issues that you have to do in your life still exist. You can't escape from it. What we need to do is we need to take responsibility for it. And then go forward with it. So, he tries to understand all this stuff in chapter 1. He can't do it. He finds out that it's frustrating. He gets so frustrated, he tries some other avenues. He tries outlet of pleasure, and he can't figure it out. And that doesn't work. And then he tries to leave a lasting legacy in these great projects of his. In verses 4 and 6, as we read, he tries agriculture and architecture. And that might make everybody go ooh and ah, but as far as his satisfaction, it was lacking. In verse 8, he builds mansions and gets in singers and everything else, and he acquires all this stuff. And we talked about the other night about how we need to accrue. Accruing won't solve the problem. Action will. Okay? And so he tries mansions and music, and it doesn't work. He tries power and position, and it doesn't work. He's got all these people coming to him as the wisest person on the earth. But inside is just like them. And folks, that's the way it always is. So in the rat race, Solomon finds this fact. Solomon finds that the things that he considered meaningful are actually meaningless. And that's what happens when we have our focus in the wrong spot. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, he says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was what? Vanity. And vanity means worthlessness. And vexation of spirit. You know why? Because the more you have, the more you got to control. The more you have to think about. The more problems you have. And there was no profit under the sun. Christ said it like this. He says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So there is the rat race identified. We see all these things. Are we like that? How do you know that you're in the rat race? If you find yourself on that cycle, and if you're exhausting yourself to gain material possessions, then you know you're in the rat race. Because God said this. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. So something has changed. You work night and day to keep up with the others. A couple Sunday nights ago, he said it's vain to stay up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, to try to solve the problems yourself. You can't do it. You're in the rat race. And God says, come out from among them. And what? Be separate. So if you're exhausting yourself to gain material possessions, if that is your focus in life, then Christ said, don't heap up treasures down here on earth. Heap up treasures in heaven. If you work night and day to keep up with others, then you need to understand, be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And you need to realize what Christ preached in the very first sermon. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You know what we study, Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we said all we needed to do was do what? Take one more step. You try to see the end of this, it's not going to work. Living by faith. What did Christ say in his model prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Paul said this. He says, I know that whatever state I am, therewith to be what? To be content. Don't compare yourself with others. If you're looking for escape, and you're just getting yourself high for the feeling of the moment. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be nicotine. It could be pornography. It could be any of those things. If you're getting pleasure out of that, if you're taking the escape route of that to numb your brain to what really needs, your real need in your life, then you're in the rat race. And it's a sad, sad thing. That people say, I just can't stop. And the reality of it is they don't want to stop. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than conquerors through that. I've had things in my life that God's given me victory. You can get out of the rat race. If your life centers around yourself instead of others, in Philippians chapter 2, it says, don't think on your own things, but think on the things of others. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. But before that, we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're building your life without the Lord, you're in the rat race. And I'm going to give you a verse here in Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in what? Vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You can go and you can study the history of the kings. How the kings built all these magnificent walls and towers and engines and things to stave off the enemy. But when God said it was going to happen, it happened just like God said it was. There was no stopping. So tonight, I want to give you five things on how to get out of the rat race. Five things on how to get out of the rat race. First of all, come with your sins to Christ. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 11, 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. God told Joshua before he entered the promise that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you're going to meditate in day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. In verse 8. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You want to get out of the rat race? Admit that you're in it first. And then say, God, I'm putting that in front of you. That's sin, folks.
Right.
That is sin. So first, come with your sins to Christ. Secondly, look to Him alone for your salvation. Your bank account won't save you. Your house won't save you. Your collection of guns won't protect you. There's always something bigger. We need to look for Christ. I look into the hills from whence cometh my help. In Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So first, come with your sins to Christ. That's how you can start to prosper. Secondly, look to Him alone for your salvation. Third, lay aside every weight and every sin. Paul asked this question to the Galatian church. We were in Galatians this morning. He asked this question in Galatians 5, verse 7. He says, you did run well. You started out right. But then what happened? What happened? He says, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? See, we all have good intentions. We all have this great plan. But then all of a sudden the plan starts driving us instead of us driving the plan. And then we find that we are a slave to the plan. And we're in the rat race. And we never made any mention of God in the first place. What worked before with God will work again. He changes not. He changes not. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Wherefore, seeing we are also our compass bound with so great a cloud of witness. Oh, by the way, in Hebrews 11, 25, it said about Moses, it said that he despised the pleasure of sin for a season. He overlooked that so he could be with his people. He said, I'm not going to fall down the Egyptian hierarchy. I'm going to come out from that. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are accomplished about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before you. Folks, I want to see revival in our church. I want to see revival in every one of your lives. I want to see revival in your families. And the issue is, what's hindering us from that? We are. God is sufficient for all things. We have to get on His page. We have to get out of our rat race and start following Him. Fourthly, you must run with patience, steadfastness, and consistency. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or verse 9, verses 26 and 27 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. In the previous verse, he talks about running the race. And he says, those that run the race, you have to run. You have to enter the race and you have to run. And he says, you have to strive in the race. And he says, if you're striving in the race, you're going to be temperate in all things, and those things are not going to control you. Paul writes earlier in 1 Corinthians, he says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. Later on, a couple of chapters, he says, all things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the control of any of them. And folks, what we need to understand is we need to let God control things, not us trying to control everything. Solomon didn't do it. And if Solomon doesn't do it, I guarantee you we can. He was the wisest man on the planet. It says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. The other night, outside on our corner, there was this guy. And he was just doing this all over the place out front. And everybody was sitting there laughing at him. And they were encouraging him to do more. It's a sad, sad thing. He's trying to change my life. But the issue is that he's just beating the air, not doing anything. Folks, it's time to have a purpose. It's time to have God direct our path. It's time to have God direct our energies. So we have a place to go. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep him under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I should be a castaway. So forth, you must run with patience, steadfastness, and consistency. But the first thing is, you must run. You can't live the Christian life sitting on your rear. Sitting in a church. You got to do something about it. Show me faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And you got to do it steadfastly, with consistency. Tomorrow I'm trying to serve God the same way or even better than I did today. And we're supposed to be transformed from glory to glory into His image. And we have to do it by the renewing of our mind and transforming of ourselves. Fourthly, you must run with patience, steadfastness, consistency. Lastly, fifth, keep your eyes on Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek, that means look, those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. John writes in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. It's right or wrong. It's for God or it's not for God. It's by faith or not by faith. It is that black and white in our lives. We need to get back to that. Amen. We need to get back to that. Because if you not, this is what could happen. In Galatians 3:1, Paul writes this. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth, crucified among you? Folks, you take your eyes off Christ, you're opening yourself up for a world of hurt. You're opening yourself up for spiritual failure. You're opening yourself up for physical failure. You're opening yourself up for emotional failure. God wants us to win. We are more than conquerors with Him that loved us. So keep your eyes on Jesus. If you give up yourself in this race, you will not be sorry in the end. And that's the end of this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39 says this, He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What are you looking for tonight? Are you looking for another rat? Or are you looking to God? That's the question. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord, just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to look to you, Lord, and put you first and let you solve this issue of life. Lord, we ask that if there's anyone who does not know you as Savior, Lord, that tonight they would understand their need for salvation and come forward. Father, for us, Lord, help us to surrender ourselves to you. And not look at our things, Lord, but look to you.
We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.